Name of Jesus. Welcome here, each one. Friends, wherever, good to be together as we look into the Word of God again. I had to think when the brother mentioned, first, let's go back a little bit. I had usually this kind of a message I have on the last Sunday night, the last message of wherever I go, message similar. It's not because I'm afraid of what people might say about it. So for some people, it's a controversial thing. For me, it's the Word of God. But this time on Sunday night, I'll keep you in suspense, you know. On Sunday night, I'll have a message according to the date of that day. So keep thinking about that. Otherwise, I would have this message. Tonight, God doesn't have a pan, but He has a plan. You know, a lot of people in churches say that things are just going to pan out, as it were. That's all I care about, the Word of God. Really? That is a very apostate thought of the Word of God. Because the Word of God tonight is very clear. Some things I don't understand that clearly, I realize. But the Word of God, if it says it in here, this is exactly how it's going to be, whether I or you understand it or not. It is very clear, and this should be the heartbeat, I believe, for every child of God to believe the Word in its sincerity and in truth. And once we start compromising on that, there is no end. There is absolutely no end where we'll end up at. We look at the conference Mennonite church at home, and I saw those people. They didn't dress much different than you did 60 years ago, and now they're further away from the truth than the Baptists and a lot of the other churches. Why? Because he started to spiritualize everything in the Word of God, and it takes you on a road that is far from God tonight. Lord, help us. God doesn't have a pan, but a plan. You know, a lot of people say it's just going to pan out. I don't really care. Well, what about the ladies covering? You know, very clear. Children, tomorrow night. Children's meeting. Bring your parents along. Okay? Bring your other friends from school along. Whatever. Bring them along. And again, the theme song. I trust you remember the words we sang tonight. That I'll get you clue in what the songwriter was trying to get across. Possibly tomorrow night. See how it all goes. There are a lot of things happening in the world tonight, today. A report is that 9,000 churches are going to close in Canada in the next decade. Anti-Semitism attacks in France have risen 74% in the last year. Iran's military leader says that Israel will be diminished from off the face of the earth. By the way, I like world events. My wife likes to know when the babies are born in the neighborhood and so forth, and God bless her for that. You know, for me, I'm thrilled with that too, but I don't get that kind of a thing as I look what's happening and what your leaders say of the countries and so forth. You know, things are happening at a very rapid pace tonight, dear people. We are living in a very exciting time. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled in our day. You go back to when Israel became a nation. That is Bible prophecy being fulfilled in our time. Indeed it is. And that means this word is as true as it ever was and always will be. To me, this is a thrill to be able to preach about the Word of God. In a time like this, and you talk about Bible prophecy, that is the greatest way to win people on the street than anything that is out there. Because the world is interested in Bible prophecy more than the church is, sad to say. They see that things are going on in the world, and they say, what is going on? And your people tonight, if we can come up to them and say there's an answer because the Word of God says it, He'll turn them to Jesus Christ. They're in a turmoil out there. They don't know. I was talking with a man a while back, And he said his son moved to Texas, his son-in-law. He was working with the chip at home, the microchip, I guess, whatever you call it. And he was working at home in Canada, and in our area is where the tech hub is in Canada. And he said his son was asked by a company in Texas, one of your fair states down here, to move down. And his family and him all got the green card within a month's time. You know, it isn't who you are, it's who you know, finally. So I said, what about the chip for the humans? The son said, oh, he said, that is really, that's really not the issue anymore. That's all ready to go, but the people have to get ready for it. Makes sense. But he said something that is really a lot more fearful than that is, he said he saw the video himself, and his son is working on some of these things, that they got this little robot of a dog, you know, name him Cully, whatever, I don't know, or Rover. And they tell Rover, you know, go into that room and get that ball up in the wall. And so old Rover walks over there as good as a robot can, reaches up, opens the door, walks in, and walks up to the wall, and ball is up on the shelf. What does he do now? Looks around, gets up a board over here, and takes it over and puts it up there, and walks up, gets the ball, brings it out to the owner. That wasn't pre-planned. That is a computer thinking for himself. Do you get it tonight? If they can do that to a robot dog, soon they'll have robots that are smarter than you and me, supposedly. We're living in dangerous times, you know. But I'm not here because I'm fearful, but tonight I've titled my message, We're More Than Conquerors. More than conquerors tonight. Romans talks about that. And tonight I want to leave you positive with all the things that are happening, which we'll talk about, and are going to happen yet in the seven-year tribulation. These things are going to happen, friends, tonight. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for the grand reunion when the saints of God are going to be called up to meet them in the air. That is the hope tonight for the child of God. To me, that is thrilling to speak about the blessed word, to be able to call up in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. What a day that will be. Let's get into the message. In school, as we practiced for races, you know, no one really knew for sure who would win. I had many times an idea, you know, who it could be, but I had to crucify this old self because I knew this wasn't the person that was going to win the race. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 to 10. Very beautiful verses. In fact, your people, if you love prophecy tonight, if you love the word of God, you go through Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all the minor prophets. And if you're open to truth, it can be so rich a book as you can find. I mean, to me, for years, it was boring reading. I mean, I had to because I was under the law. You know, you should read the Bible through, right? Friends, the Bible is filled with one-third of prophecy. Some things have happened, and many things have not happened. And we're living in times when things are happening that are pointing to the problems that are going to come upon this earth. Indeed, they are. Let's read here in verse 8. Remember this, and show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Isn't that beautiful verses? It's like the brother mentioned in his devotions already. You know, there is none else. Scientists, whatever, they can't come up with anything better than there is a God. They'll deny it. But let's read on. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. From the beginning to the end, it's announced what will happen. Everything in between, it's here. God said, when I formed the earth, or he knew, I knew what when I shall bring a close to this world. In fact, the brother read in Hebrews 10 there, he read that for that day that is approaching. And there is a day approaching tonight that you and I have to be ready for. First of all, I believe in the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ to be called up to meet him in the air. That's the blessed hope for every child of God tonight. Indeed it is. But after that, woe to the people when things get bad. And I'll get into that tonight. Yet things are going to get bad in this earth. And it shudders my spine, but I praise God. We have a great God tonight, and all through, even through tribulation, in the 7-year tribulation, there's a message of hope. For some people, there is. And that's the beautiful God we can serve tonight, the great Savior Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for you and me. Praise God tonight. We're many times surprised by events that happen in churches. We're surprised by events that happen in the world, how fast things can get out of control. Just a number of years ago in Venezuela, a prosperous country, the most prosperous country in South America, the land of oil and of plenty, and wrong leaders and corruption and socialism and communism, millions of people have fled. Hardly enough money to buy food anymore. Hardly enough money for medicines. The money devalued 1,000,000%. Friends, what would you have left tonight in your bank account if that would take place? No, I get this straight tonight. I'm not driving fear into any person. Prophecy doesn't scare a person. It should prepare a person. That's the bottom line for speaking the word of God tonight. And that's thrilling. To be prepared for the great event that is coming. The great hope for the child of God. No food, no money to buy. And we think that won't happen in North America. I hope it will not happen. I hope that we know it won't happen. We need counseling centers because of bitterness and unrepentant spirits and a whole lot of other things. Friends, if these things would happen, who would be left to counsel? No. Just a thought to throw in. Who'd be left? You know, we have our problems with churches and how to get along with each other and on and on and on. When we should be thinking, Lord, is the trumpet sounding today? Oh, friends, it's getting closer. It is. Indeed it is. The word of God shall stand. 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So run tonight and keep running. Keep running, dear people. But I want to clue you in on the words of Apostle Paul. He say, he wrote that the world seeks a corruptible crown. But he says, you and me an uncorruptible crown. In Philippians 3:14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:6-8, you can read those verses. It says, a crown is laid up for Apostle Paul. He said, I know my mission is almost completed. But he said, there is a crown that is laid up for me. And you know, then it comes in with that glorious hope for you and me again tonight. It says, but not for me only, but for all that love is appearing. For all that love is appearing, friends, that can be your promise tonight. That should be our desire tonight, dear people. He wrote more about the rapture of the church and that lively hope for a believer and the coming of Christ than any other person did. But he also had a vision that none of us had. You know, that inspired him on to live for God. He saw something beautiful that the English language couldn't put in words, and neither could the Pennsylvania German put in words. No. This was real to Apostle Paul. This was life, indeed it was. The beautiful part is there, he said, it's not only a crown for Paul, but unto all them that love his appearing. And tonight I want to leave you the challenge. Do you love to talk about Jesus? Do you love to talk about him? Do you love to talk about his appearing, that great event that shall take place? No, none of us know for sure all what's going to happen, but it will happen and it will be a glorious event. And that is the hope for the bride of Christ, to look for the bridegroom to come. Dear people, what a day that shall be. Do I understand it all? No, I understand very little of it, but I'm simple enough to believe what the word says. Yes, indeed. There's a ring to it, to think that Jesus Christ could come. And I still remember going to the Hesses there in Phillips Creek, you know, when they ring that old church bell and the building vibrates. Yes, it speaks of, there's an excitement with that bell for me. It means that there's still people alive that come together to worship. That blesses me. I'm not saying you all have to get bells from now on to inspire me, but it's there. Keep ringing away. Keep ringing away. Yes. We talked, I won't get into that. There are a couple of wars that are coming on the scene. The one war speaks very clearly. It could happen at any time. At any time. It tells you the nations that will come against Israel. And I won't go into that, but just to keep your curiosity alive, there is that war that is going to come. I believe it could come before the tribulation. But I mean, I don't know. You'll have to get my next book, that all right, and I'll have the dates all in there. Are you awake? No, I won't write a book. And God forbid I ever put a date in. And don't you waste your time on buying a book that has dates in. That's not scriptural. We have to stay with the Word of God, friends. Though I could make more money maybe than preaching, you know, by writing something like that. Because the worldly people want to know if you don't want to know. Yes, they want to have something sure, and yet it's so unsure as ever because it's false. It's false indeed. There's a war that's coming. I'm looking at the war that will come at the end of the tribulation period, as I understand the word of God. Zechariah 12. God's word was to Zechariah. Let's turn there. Zechariah 12, verse 2. It says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." Do you get the picture here? We have a nations that are coming against Israel and Jerusalem. And these nations are surrounding it. And I like to bring a picture to you that I see every summer, early in the summer when the cherries are ripe. The robins, or let's make it more neutral ground, call them starlings. They'll come into the cherry tree, and I stand there with my gun, and I drop them down. The next one comes, and they hardly fly away anymore because this is so good. This is what we've been waiting for all spring, for the cherries to, and they don't care. They're so indulged with this that they don't care what is going on around them, if my buddies fall or not. We're in for the prey. And here you see this scene coming upon the world scene tonight when all their enemies will come against Israel, as according to the word of God, it says so. A cup of trembling, indeed it is, to indulge what they have been waiting for years and years and years. And that's how come Iran and all these countries are hating Israel. Why? Because God promised them a land, and they know the scripture, and they want to annihilate them once and for all, and then that would make this word of no value. This word will stand tonight, and praise God for that. Every preacher can share the good news with a positive message tonight. God is in control. Nobody runs ahead of God. Nobody lags behind of God. God has the perfect timing, and I don't. I don't. The armies have surrounded this nation and this city. And there's no city, no other city in the world so important that God said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There is a special connection with God with Jerusalem. And I won't take time to go into that. But in that day mentioned, in that day it says here, in that day, in that future event coming down the road, which hasn't happened yet, in that day is mentioned 16 times in the remainder of Zechariah and on into Joel 1. The events prophesied in this section deal largely with the ultimate consummation of Israel's history, and therefore they're most important. Verse 3, it says, And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. We see here a hatred that is rising up, and all nations shall be gathered. And I had to think of Ezekiel 37. It says here how all these bones had been scattered around, and that is referring to Israel. All these bones are coming together. Finally, they've been brought together. And finally, they've got some skin on them. 1948, May, they got some skin on them. But they're still lifeless tonight. Still lifeless, still a people without hope. And tonight, I want to make it very clear. Every person on the face of the earth, if they want to be saved, have to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There is no other way into heaven than through Jesus Christ. But he has a way of tapping people on the backs, you know. He has a way of reminding people where they're at, you know. He has a way of reminding you where you're at in your personal life with Jesus Christ. Are you far from him? And sometimes he has to knock very hard to get our attention, to remind us, come back to me, I'm still here. You know. But oh, we're so thick-skulled many times, and we know so many things. Yeah. Lord, help us to let the Holy Spirit move in our lives. It sees all people. But the scripture says very clearly, God shall put his Spirit into their hearts down the road. Revelation 16:11. We'll be scooting back and forth here. I have to go back and forth so that you can read the word for yourself. So we won't have any arguments afterwards. You know how that is? It's here. Believe it. And try to understand it. We'll be all getting the key. It says here in verse 11 of Revelation 16. Revelation 16:11. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. No, I'm not. Something is not right here. Oh, this is it. 16. I'm in the wrong verse. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Is that a strange term to you? Armageddon, rock singers have that title on their songs oftentimes. When we have a major snowstorm, they call it Snowmageddon. Last fall, when you had the fires in California, they call it Firemageddon. What's the connection? What's the connection? The world knows more about these things than the church many times. The world talks about these things, referring to something out of the ordinary. Israel is a strong nation today, very strong, military, very, very wise, and so forth. But finally, when all the nations of the world come against it, finally, it looks like doom and gloom. God has blessed that nation over the years. It has been blessed with a gas find here in the last couple of years of trillions of more gas than any place in the world. They have oil finds just in the last 5 years. They're selling oil to their enemies now in Syria and to other countries. God has blessed them. But you know, they're doing it on their own. They're still doing it on their own. I am strong. My blessings is because of my intellectual learning in school at Anava. Tonight, dear people, you can have all the education in the world, but if you don't have Jesus Christ in the heart, it doesn't benefit you. We have to get back to the old time, Holy Spirit-filled Word of God, if you want to make it through life into glory. Oh, dear people, this is my heartbeat tonight. This scene here is at the closing of the seven-year tribulation. The bride, the church, and it is your name in there tonight. I want to make that very clear. Have you been redeemed tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ? How are you looking for the bridegroom to come? Do you? And if not, get right. There is a day coming, friends. There is a day coming, and the brother spoke about it in his devotions. There's a day coming, and there'll be a parting. There'll be a parting. Either you're going to be called up, or you're going to be left behind. We, the bride, are called to be worthy to escape the horrible things that are on this earth. This earth is not going to get any better. Even if we have good environmentalists and all of these things that you can't have any smoke coming out of the chimney and on and on and on. You know, get a right heart with God. It'll take care of a lot of those things which I mentioned last night. Imagine, though, it says here in verse 8 of back to in verse 8 of Zechariah 12. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. What a verse. Imagine the most feeblest person going out with a slingshot like David did when the enemy drops. That's in my own terms here. Verse 9, it says, and it shall come to pass, when? In that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against where? Against Jerusalem. God will destroy all nations that are coming against Jerusalem. That's what the word says. Verse 10, it says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Oh, would to God that we could grasp that verse tonight. Would to God that we would know what it means when God says that I'm going to pour out my blessings upon those people. I'm not done yet. It's not all blessing up to now. It isn't. It isn't. The grace is poured out on them. The opening of their eyes to come to know the Messiah. The one they were blinded to, and why were they blinded to the Messiah 2,000 years ago, is so that you and I could have that privilege of coming to know this beloved Savior. Friends, do you love him tonight? Do you love him? The one who gave everything on Calvary, for even so vile sinner as me. I could understand it for you, but he did it for me. I wasn't worthy. And neither were you, even if you were better sinners. Yeah. Are you part of those that had that privilege in Romans 11 to taste of the goodness of God? And the Jews' eyes were blinded so we could be grafted into that tree. Romans 11, what a tremendous chapter to read. I never had a message just on Romans 11, but there are 10 messages likely in there. The beauty, the prophetic word tonight. But now we see the nations that are drunken with that last push to overthrow this nation. For once, to take care of, to throw once and for all God's people, as it were. The ones that the covenants were made to, plus the holy city where the Lord himself wants to sit and reign. That's what the word of God says. Zechariah 12, verse 4. It says this, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Beautiful words. But you get this here? It seems the Lord, for the last couple of thousand years, he was sort of had his eyes closed for people that said, your blood be upon us and our children and the oncoming generations. And you know, God honors that. If a nation goes against God, like Russia did, and said, you're their God, God literally smiles, I believe, and said, paddle your own canoe. Haiti dedicated their country in 2000 again to witchcraft. And you can fly over the Dominican Republic and Haiti. You can see the line in the sand. One side is greener than the other side. Why? We have a God that hears and honors. If you want to go away from God tonight and paddle your own canoe, he'll let you do it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But God is a God of mercy and of love. He wants to draw us to him. How many times, excuse me, maybe somebody could give me a glass of water and charge me later for it or whatever. Is there water around here? Thank you, brother. My cold isn't getting, it's better than it was yesterday. Thank you. But here we see God opening his eyes. And I like that term because he sees that these people suffering thousands of years. You take the Holocaust, what all happened through there. Suffering to no end. They're running, they're homelessness. There's millions have died without hope in Jesus Christ. Yeah, he let the Holocaust go to remind the Jews and also the rest of the world that he's still there. Yeah, he wants to get their attention. And I had to think tonight, is it like when Christ hung on the cross with our sins upon him? And God looked down upon Calvary. And this is how it came to me as I was studying. I don't believe that God, when he looked down, thank you, when he looked down upon Jesus Christ, that he could see anything of his humanity left in him. I believe there was either spit or blood or stripes or gashes across his whole bed, across his whole body. And that all represented our sin. And that's how come God said, I can't look at this. Sin that my son took upon him, yours and mine included. That's how serious it was. That is just how I believe the scripture is here. But Jesus, in that state, where God had to look away from all our messed up sin and spit upon him, there was no way for us to come to God. But Jesus was looking for a bride. Looking for a bride. He said, I'll take your sin. I will give my life for it. Tonight, do you believe in the only begotten Son of God? Do you? Have you been sanctified and set free? Jesus wanted a bride. And there is a wrath that unfolds here like never before, which I'm getting back to Zechariah again too, because God wants his people to understand that he's been merciful for thousands of years. I still want to get your attention, as it were, and I will. He will get the attention. Yes, he will. He'll pour it on. He'll put them through the mill. We're going to get to that. Daniel 12:1, quickly there for a few verses. Daniel, even Jesus speaks about Daniel, so it can't be too far off, you know, if people are questioning the word. Daniel 12:1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Get this. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 9. This is talking about the same events. Daniel 9, verse 11 to 13. It says, "Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him." You can go back to Deuteronomy, and there it says in the book that God said, "If you depart from my ways, you'll find out I'll turn my back on you." You're on your own. You're on your own. You're going down a path that you'll take you on and on and on. But get this. Moses wrote about these things. He talked about it to them. He said, "This is your choice. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake unto us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem." And you might say that all has to do with the 70 years after Jerusalem fell there, or whatever. Jerusalem fell there in 70 AD, I believe it was. No, this is talking about a different event. It says, "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." Let's go to Revelation 16. Talking about event here. Revelation 16, verses 18 to 21. "And there were voices. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." These are things that are happening down the road, dear people, tonight. Do you want to experience them or not? And I don't know who all will be living. You know, I don't know those things. But there will be people alive when these things happen. "And that great city, which was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent or 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Revelations 10:7. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." These things are new for us, but they were not new for Moses or the prophets. The scripture says clearly, those things have never happened before and never will after. A one-time event, Zechariah 12:10. Already we talked about that. When these people look upon Christ whom they have pierced, they have to make it personal. And we will too tonight. Where are you in your Christian life? It is no more the work of the law. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, friends. Tonight, are you living under the law? Are you coming to this congregation in Cornerstone and you're doing just everything because the preacher says you have to, and the deacon comes and visits you? You know, if you don't, friends, rise above the law, friends. Otherwise, you're no better than any Jew here either. You know, our Christian life should be rising above and loving the body of believers and living for God and looking for him. It could be tonight. It could be tonight, friends. Indeed, it could. These are exciting times. These people saw something in Jesus Christ when he comes back. Ezekiel 39. I'll keep you hopping here. Ezekiel 39. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelled safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, do we get the picture? They're coming back. People are leaving from Canada to go back to Israel. People are leaving from the U.S. to go back to Israel. People are leaving France to go back to Israel because of the anti-Semitism that is going on. God has a way to get them back. When he says they're going to come back, they will come back. I don't know by what all means. I just go by the word of God. And it will happen. It will happen. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Why does he do that? Why does he do that tonight? Do you know the word of God? It says, I'm going to bring them back. All these nations, you have laughed at my people in their idolatry and their fornications and adulteries and their sin to no end. The nations have laughed and mocked at God because he's not your God, they say. He's not helping you. And these people squandered thousands of years away from one generation to the next, thinking that another law can finally take us home to God. It says here, I will be sanctified in them. I will show what will take place in them, that I am God. And the next verse it says, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them anymore there. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them. For I poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Friends, when God gets done with them, they will realize he is God. And all the surrounding nations will know that there's a God that no human can come against because he's an awesome God. Friends, your dresses aren't awesome tonight. Your shirts aren't awesome because they have a certain brand tonight. But God is awesome. He is awesome tonight. He is righteous and he is holy. Finally, God is satisfied. Fathers and mothers, after disciplining children, and you see the results, there's a joy to see when the son finally catches on. It pays to be obedient. Mothers, when you see your daughters finally catching on, all the styles and the fads of the world will never bring peace to the heart. Discipline, rewarding. And here we see a scene unfolding so heavenly and so beautiful. In John 19:37, it says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And they literally looked on Jesus whom they pierced at the crucifixion. And they literally will again. Yes, they will. Revelations 1:7, it says, every eye shall see him. They also, referring to the Jews, shall wail because of him. And tonight he asks, why the mourning? Why the mourning over this time when they shall see him? It says they shall see something happened in the hands of the one that they're seeing. We'll go on in Zechariah again. Zechariah verse 10. I already read verse 10. We'll go to verse 11. Zechariah 12, verse 11. In that day, get it? In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. We would think tonight, once they see the one who is coming down, the one whom the scripture says they have helped to pierce. And we would see finally that reunion. But it seems there's a process of a very short time here happening. And I don't understand all this, but they see Jesus. And they see the mark still there in his glorified body, as I understand it and believe it. Number one, they'll wail for one as he comes for salvation. And number two, they will wail for the one who has come to give salvation. The firstborn in a family brings hope to any family to pass along that family name, firstborn son. They didn't mourn over Jesus' death when he hung on the cross. I know they had a few extra cups of coffee over that time or not. I don't know. But there was no mourning. He was an enemy. He was a threat to the religious system. He was a threat to the godly, so-called godly people that had all their ducks in a row. They did not mourn over Jesus' death. Last fall, I was preaching a message, and two young men, 17 years old or something, got up. Confessed the need of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. One of the most beautiful scenes for any preacher, for any father and mother, is when a child breaks down before a holy God. It's more than money can buy, dear people. Oh, when you see their lostness and their tears of joy. You know, for to think that he wants to be redeemed and set free from the sins he's in. But also the tears of mourning of how many wasted years. Yeah. Why didn't we do it sooner? How many of us would say that, you know? Why did we wait so long when salvation was so rich and so free? Oh. Here we see a future scene unfolding. They saw who Jesus is. And first of all, we have to see the same thing in our own personal life. Have you experienced of who Jesus is and what he has done for you? That I was lost, that I was miserable. I made others miserable too. But here we see his hands. These Jews see his hands and the marks. And it was because of them. And those marks were of love for who he came to save tonight. Here they see his hands and his marks. Yes, tears of repentance for what the only Son could do for them. After 2,000 years, they had received that look again at Calvary, as it were. You know, we Gentiles had that privilege all the way along. But they were in darkness so that you and I could have life and life eternal. And finally, a scene comes on when Jesus Christ comes down. And these people see the one who has his hands marked for them. And they wail because of this. How long have we been in misery and running all over the countries and Holocaust and everything else? Because we were good in our own eyes. We could do it without a holy God. And finally, they catch on as the Spirit of grace is poured upon them. Your people, Luke 23:27-31, it says, weep for yourselves and on the coming generations. And that's what Jesus had said would happen. Here we see tears of shame and regret. If two-thirds of the Jews are lying out there in the 7 years of tribulation, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed according to the word of God. in 7 years' time. And that means, I believe, every person in Israel or every Jew, wherever he is at that time, will have loved ones that have died. The horrible death. Lying over the Megiddo Valley, where it all happens. They have rejected the Messiah so long. And now tears of grief. How could we have done this to the only Son of God? Which could have saved us? Which could have saved the 2/3? They would have believed in Jesus Christ. Do we see something happening? Have we wept for the sins we have committed? And how long we have spurred the call of the Holy Spirit tonight? Every person living, and especially they, shall see what they did. What they did. Zechariah 12:11. I read that verse there. In that day, they shall mourn afresh. Oh, if we only had let the Savior be king of our life. Those 2/3 would not have to be perished and eternally lost. And how many times we have parents, you know, that are weeping today. Fathers and mothers, as they see their children walking into the world. And they have to admit that I wasn't the father and the mother that I should have been. If I would have truly loved Jesus Christ as I should have, maybe they wouldn't be where they are. You know, Lord, help us. Lord, help us tonight as every father and mother to search your own hearts. How have we done? And I'm one to say I have missed the point at times, and to go to your boys and say, I'm sorry. You know, we often are not that godly, you know, sometimes. Lord, help us mourn afresh. We've seen a lot of negative things unfold tonight as we read the Word of God, but we have always seen the thread of God's mercy, even through Revelations and the rest of the Word of God. When Jesus comes to earth the second time, at the climax of the third war, as I understand it, in Acts 2 it says, as you have seen Jesus rise up into the clouds, so shall he return again to the place where he left. Yes, he will come back again, friends. Not as a babe, not as a savior, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And shall rule and reign with a rod of iron. He shall come with power and splendor and might. In Revelations 19. My, we have to keep this thing going here. Revelations 19. It says here in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This says what his mission is when he comes again. And verse 12, it describes how he looks. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Honor. Many crowns. You know, our queen and our rulers of our land, they do well to keep one crown on straight. Jesus Christ will come with power and beauty. Awesome. As he displays who he is tonight, dear people. This speaks of a conqueror. And tonight, he wants you to be a conqueror with him. Already now in this life. It says his name is the Word of God. If we don't believe the Word of God and not live by the Word of God, we will be judged by the Word of God, whose name is the Word of God. Yeah. Verse 14 to 15. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of a mighty God. The armies following upon the white horses. Military leaders in bygone years always returned home on a white horse. They would get it somewhere. If there was victory, he would be riding back home to his home country with a white horse. Jesus says he left and he's coming back, he says, with a white horse displaying the power and the victory. The battle that already has been won, as it were, because the word of God says it, that means it's happened. There's no other military might in the army in the world that knows the outcome of what happens beforehand. The word of God says, I know the battle beforehand. It's finished. It's finished. From the beginning to the end, the Lord is victorious. He has conquered, and the battle hasn't even come against this scenario yet, and hallelujah for that. The armies arrayed in white coming down to Mount Olive. We first have to be with him in order to come with him tonight. Get that clear. Have your robes been made white with the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking with Jesus Christ tonight so that you have the opportunity to be called up in the air? And then when he decides to come back, you can come back with him. What a blessed hope I have to offer you. This is a thrill to be preaching the word of God tonight, even though my stammering tongue might not get it clear to you, but hopefully the word of God does. Hopefully the word of God does. But the difference is, do you see the back part of Christ? And are you coming with him? Or if you'd be here, would you face him? There's a big difference when you face this mighty conqueror. And it says, and if you are the enemy of his, he'll put you in a wine press and he'll press it out. His wrath will be as full as it ever has been in God's time, which is always. This is a climax that is happening here. And friends, tonight, again, I don't preach this to scare you, but to prepare you. Get that. Get that tonight. Words relating to the wrath of God and God's anger are found 15 times in the book of Revelation. Friends, we want to be with Christ when he comes and not see the wrath of God looking upon us tonight. And this is what the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ is all about. It says there in 1 Thessalonians, for lack of time, you should know those verses. Those verses are talks about the comfort that there is therein to be called up to be with the Lord. And those that are dead for thousands of years, and they hear the trumpet sound, it says, they shall be called up. They'll be called up just a half a wink before us. What a glorious scene. Friends, this is good. This is wonderful. In 1 Corinthians 15, read it with clarity. It says, we'll be changed in the twinkling, in the moment of an eye. Gone. Where do you want to be tonight? Are you ready to go? Or your boots mired down the clay with the business and everything else, the cares of this world. And we forget that there's a beautiful day coming, friends, when all these earthly things mean nothing. Nothing. Because we can behold the King of Kings, those marks for all eternity were made for me. That trumpet shall sound. And are you counted worthy to escape tonight? The scripture says you can be. At home, I mentioned this a couple of times, maybe to use before. There was a 102-year-old man that he couldn't hear too well anymore, but he asked me to preach his funeral whenever that would be. Sure, if I'm here, if I'm still here. But he told me about a year ago, he said, it's a little sacred to talk about. But he said, I didn't have any record players on. My hearing isn't good. But I did hear the most nicest singing that a person could ever want to hear. He said, must have been angels. He was a godly man. He was a godly man. And that's possible. I believe in those things tonight. This man was a godly man, and he heard angels sing. And friends, if a fellow that can't hear well can hear angels sing, then the dead also can hear when the trumpet sounds. Oh, hallelujah, friends. The Bible says a third of all trees are going to be burned. A third of the sea shall turn to blood. A third of flesh shall die. These are things that shall happen. Revelation 6:8 says a fourth part of humanity shall die. And tonight, if we have 8 billion people on the earth, it means it will drop to 6 billion people. That's a lot of people. In Revelation 9, it says a third of the people are going to die. That means if you have 6 billion people left, there'll be another 2 billion people. This is dwindling down really fast, friends. Man that goes against God will also face the judgments of God. God isn't finished yet. In Zechariah, it says two-thirds of the people that I've loved, that the people that said, your blood will be upon me and my generations, two-thirds of them shall die. Referring strictly to the Jews. In Revelation 14:13, it says, there shall be an earthquake, and 7,000 Jews are going to be dropping dead in Jerusalem alone. God has a way of finally getting attention to those that have been far from him. I'll give you a notice, you know, he says, I'm here, I'd be here for them tonight already. He's here for you tonight. He doesn't want people to go through this mess. But God says, I'll get your attention. Yeah. Things will happen. And I believe the calamities that happen in the tribulation period might be worse than all the calamities up until then. It'll be awful, friends. Tonight, I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Yeah. Even though I may die before he comes, like I said, I haven't got my book out yet. But, you know, he is coming. And we should live in expectation that it could be tonight. Again, get this clear. Bible prophecy is not to scare, but to prepare, to give you a hope, a lively hope tonight, dear people. And it says, and every man that has this hope of his coming in him purifieth himself, even as he, Jesus Christ, is pure in 1 John 3:3. You can go to, I won't turn to those, in Jude 14 it says that when he comes, he will come with all his saints. And I hope tonight that your name is there and that my name is there. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it says that he will come with all his saints, and you won't be coming with him if you have been caught up to meet him in the air. Friends, this is the bottom line. Have you been caught up so you can come with him? That is the blessed hope that has been for the church through the ages, right back to the beginning of time. The Thessalonians, they were excited, but then they thought they'd missed it because some other thing. No. That's not how it works. Some people find it hard to believe things, you know, in the Bible, that they are literal. No wonder the rainbow has been exchanged for something else, what God's covenant was. Because we spiritualize these things to anything else than what it really is, friends. God's covenant and the Old Testament have never been broken. No. But people have broken them. The Jews have messed it up so bad. But don't dishearten. There's the love still thrown through. That's how come you and I have grace tonight. Some people say two things are sure, taxes and death. People didn't always have taxes in North America. And death may not be for everyone tonight. But one thing there'll be sure, there'll be a change. That change will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and I can't pronounce it any quicker. It'll be quick. Blessed is the person who is part and the first resurrection. That speaks of victory. That speaks of hope for each one of you tonight if you're living for him. I didn't even talk about the thousand-year reigns. That thousand-year reign, that gets so complicated for people that they can come up with anything but a thousand years. To me, be simple enough to believe it. This is not hard for God. God called old Enoch already. He said, you know, he was gone. And I believe it was the prophet Elijah that he was riding his chariot and they were gone, you know. If he can do it for two people, he can do it for a million. Whatever, he can do it for the church in its perfect time. When the bride and the bridegroom come together to be forever with the Lord. Zechariah 14. Oh, I must close. Zechariah 14, quickly there. 4 and 5. At his feet, referring to Jesus, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountains shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Esau. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And go on to verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And his name one. There is hope tonight. There's victory for the child of God. Oh, I hope that you can be that conqueror, that you can leave this place tonight, realizing if you're on the conqueror's side, there is victory. There is. It'll make it worthwhile getting up tomorrow if the Lord tarries that long. Another day for our King. He could come today. He could come today. And it says when he comes then, there it says on his thighs written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a Savior tonight. What a God. What a God. Shall we pray?